Take your Bibles tonight. You got me on this wireless thing here. Gentiles in the faith up in the booth. Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 16 tonight. Luke chapter 16, if you would. And we will not be preaching on the rich man in hell tonight, but he's still there. And it's good for us to be reminded every once in a while that some of those things that people... There are men that call themselves ministers to others that explain away the fires of hell. And, you know, we, as witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, need to be faithful witnesses and not just trying to compel men and tell them all the good things about the Lord Jesus Christ, but some escape because they don't want the fire. Sometimes we need to tell them, and I've been in a place where I argued my faith with someone at the door, and they were opposing of where I stood, and I said, well, before I leave, do you mind if I pray for you? And they'll say, I don't mind, go ahead, and I will pray hell hot. And I will pray that God gives them no rest until they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've had some look up at me and say, don't pray that. But I did pray for them, exactly what they needed. Maybe not what they wanted, but what they needed. And I agree with Brother Perkins. What happened today, we had a few. I would say that by far the majority of people honked their horn in support of what we were out there doing. And a few shook their fist in anger because they knew... Amen. That they were against or opposing that position, and some did it in ignorance, and some because they had already had an abortion in ignorance, and I can only imagine how that hurt them. But I appreciate everybody that came. I do pray that the Lord would use it in the lives of people that drove by, either to get people saved, to embolden others, and maybe to save a few lives of the babies that we stood up for today. We do have a prayer directory in the back, and I want to preach out of Luke chapter 16, and I want to preach on faithfulness tonight. And just kind of, you know, I want you to be in prayer for our church ministries and the people that our church has employed in different areas that work every day here. And then there's college students in this book. And I wish you'd take it. There's some on the back table. If we need to print more, we'll do that. And I just want to, like I said, I want you to pray for them. We are in great need of prayer. Amen. Prayer changes things. I believe that we've had weeks and weeks. We've seen God do miracle things in the lives of people and their health. But I don't want to just see it in the area where we really get down and we pray for the life of someone or their health. But I'd love to see God do miracle workings again through the Landmark Baptist Church, continued miracles. You know, I didn't plan on saying this, but let me just go on and clear a spot off and just say it was a miracle what happened in the very first year of this church that our pastor was here. To come and take a church with very few people and to sacrifice, to say, look, I'm not going to take a job even though they can't pay me. I'm going to knock doors and faithfully go out and witness and try to drum up enough people that I can continue in the pastorate and be full time. That is a huge step of faith by a man of God to give himself that way and to trust God with the back end of it. And then to have that 500, that big day, and then to continue to build all the things that we take for granted every time that we don't like our Sunday school room. Or if we think the chair is too old, or we don't think something is just right around the property, you know. I often think so many times about, I grew up in a church that was approaching that 30-year-old mark, and all the things, the air conditions, and all the things that God's people had sacrificed and paid for, had spent its time there. And some of those things need to be changed and needed to be updated, but we never need to be unthankful. My home church had John Deere colors. I've told you that before. The pews were yellow and the carpet was green. And where I was from, people liked it all right, you know. But when new folks came in, they didn't like it so much. They thought it kind of dated the place. But, you know, it's hard for our people to make that change from my home church because they had name placards on the side of the families that had sacrificed to buy the pews for people to sit in. And we sit in that place tonight. We sit in a place that has a great legacy of faith. People that are no longer with us in this place anymore are people who gave themselves and spent themselves faithfully so that, again, you know, we, so many times we're looking at a fall campaign and looking and going into that and spend, being able to spend ourselves in the work of God. And I sometimes, if I'm not careful, I look at all of what we don't have and not look at all that God has given us to do the work of God in this place. He's blessed us, folks. I don't know. I just want to remember. I want you to remember that you've been blessed. We don't sit in. We're not looking at in a church that has a bunch of holes in the roof tonight. And if it rained and poured on us, it's not going to run in here on us. And God's people have done that. And listen. And those of you that have been here for years, thank you, thank you, thank you. And just let me encourage you to continue to be faithful. Sometimes, if we're not careful. We've been faithful, we'll be faithful, we'll be faithful. And something, circumstances, something will get in the way and it'll distract us from the focus that we once had in Christ Jesus. And I want to kind of talk to you tonight about faithfulness. And I just want to say this. I'll begin by giving an illustration about football. It is a game and a passion that I loved. Amen. I played that game. I don't care about it near as much to watch it as I did when I played it. Okay. But I'll just say this, you know, this book is filled up with people. We have a great team at Landmark of people. We have a great team of people that our pastor has chosen to hire and put into places and employ for God's honor and glory. And I just am thankful for you. I don't often say that. I don't always get to tell you face to face. But just let me tell you, if you're a part of our ministry, we're going into a campaign and many of you have already spent hours. Some of you have already invested yourself in the cause of the campaign before it's even started. And I want to say thank you. But let us all take a fresh hold. Amen. Let us all reset the button back to zero. Let's not look back at yesterday and look at what we have done or what we have spent or where, how far we've gone for Jesus Christ. But as a runner, if I could say it like that, it's a brand new race. We've never run this campaign before. Can I say that? Let us get a good foothold in the blocks and take our place. And I can say for me, just like maybe you, I can't run as fast as I used to. But I can tell you this, that I still got some run in me. Amen. And no matter what everybody else is doing, the blessing of the Christian life is I'm not running against you and you're not running against me. And I get to get in the blocks just like I did every other race that I've run for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I get to leave it all right on the race course. I get to choose whether I'm going to be faithful and run with everything that I am, or I get to choose to half-heartedly make this lap. And I beg you, as we begin the message, if you want to know my heart tonight, I want to beg you tonight, get in the blocks with everything you got. Don't leave anything back. Fill yourself up, amen, and then pour yourself out through the campaign. Look at the opportunity that God's given you to serve Him through, just even if it's just through an invitation, even if it's just through, hey, today on my bus route, had a good day on my bus route. How about you? Amen. I got to sit back and I watched some of the college students and I watched how they built relationships with different groups of people and I watched them talking just to the little kids on the bus and just having fun with them. I even watched one of them hit one of the guys that fell asleep. Amen. And that blessed my heart too. Amen. Amen. You say, Brother Parsons, is that a blessing? It's a blessing. You know, we knocked a bunch of extra doors. The college and stuff were on my bus route this week and on Wednesday night. So we had a bunch of follow-up doors and a lot of the college students did those follow-ups. And we got to talk to some new people on the route and had some people lined up. And all those people called and said they weren't coming. But we still had more than we had last week because God was faithful. He gave the increase. It was some older kids, but they hadn't come in a while, amen, and they all showed up. And listen, God is good. Sometimes, you know, God does that for us just so that we don't get a big head and we think it was us. So we don't think, hey, look what I can do. God gives us people that we weren't even expecting to come, and they showed up, and they hadn't been in a while because He wants to be faithful to us in our labor. For Him. He wants to bless us in that way. Luke chapter 16 has an unusual passage of scripture, and I want to read it to you, but I'd like to pray first. If you look at verses number, and we'll start in verse number 9, but let's pray first and we'll dive into the word. And I'll try to get done on time tonight. Amen. Every time I say that, it never happens. But I almost promised myself I wouldn't say it, but I'm going to try tonight. All right, so let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I do thank you for your many blessings. God, I do thank you for my preacher. I pray, God, tonight that you'd bless him. Be with them as they travel back. Give them safety, God. Watch over them, God. I thank you for him. I thank you for what he means to me in my life. I thank you for his faithfulness, God. I pray, should you tarry your coming, that you'd let me be faithful just that same way. That you not only keep me in, but keep me on fire for you, God. I pray that you'd be with our people. Pray you use the message that you laid on my heart. Just help me to be the messenger boy to deliver exactly what you gave me. God, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 9, he says, "And I say unto you, make it yourself." I'm sorry. "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friend of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least and is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you've not been faithful in that which another man's, who shall give to you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, I want you to see the Pharisees' reaction to this. Now, I'm going to read this to you. I didn't plan on reading this, but after I went through it about three times, I decided there may be a Pharisee or two that showed up tonight. Okay? So I'm going to read you to your reaction, okay? "And the Pharisee also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided." That means they mocked and ridiculed him. "And he said unto them," all right, now this is what Jesus is saying to you, Pharisee, "ye are," I love this, "ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." I believe today we live in a culture and in a group of people who have their sights as a Pharisaical group. I'm not saying we as a church are this way, but we live among men. And if we're not careful, we'll let the worldly crowd and some people, Christians so-called, or people that maybe attend another church but you see some fruit in their life, you'll see in them and you'll see their life and their wants and their needs or what they esteem as great things. And you'll put those things in as, boy, that's what a faithful person should get. They should be blessed this way. He says here, you know, these are they that justify themselves. Now, if I could give you the basis, Matthew 25, my desire, and I would believe that the Christians that are in this room, especially the ones that I serve daily with as a staff member of the Landmark Baptist Church, I believe that your daily work is given in a way to hear one day, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And the one thing the "well done" requires is attached to the servant's name, "my good and faithful servant." Faithfulness is required in the Christian life to be successful. It just is. It's something that goes hand in hand. You don't have to be faithful to be saved, but to be successfully growing as a Christian and be what you ought to be, you gotta be faithful. Dr. Lee Robertson would always say it takes three to thrive as a Christian. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And it is true. We live in a day and age where people are constantly dropping off service times. They're constantly dropping off all these meetings because they feel like they got what they needed on Sunday morning. They go to all kinds of otherworldly outlets that speak about the Bible and maybe even use some form so-called of the scripture, and they hit them with little daily tastes of something to try to wet the tongue but not fill the need of the Spirit of God in our lives. So many times, this devotional is not the end-all thing. This is something that's supposed to bring us closer to Christ, not something that should be everything that we are as a Christian. It's a daily devotion. It makes sure that we're in the book daily, but it's not everything. If that's all the time we spend, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. I want to be faithful. I want to be found faithful at the end. And if I'm going to be found faithful, I need to know what I ought to be faithful in. So I'm going to have to find that in God's Word. I'm going to find that out in being in church Sunday morning. I've already said that before. Most of the time, we're shooting at the lost. We as a group of people come together and serve here. We pray and we work, but the gospel is what's typically preached on a Sunday morning to a lost and dying world. But it's Sunday night and Wednesday night that keeps us close. It's the time the preacher's able to take and maybe sometimes turn a wrench. My preacher calls it counseling time. You didn't know that you were coming to counseling services, did you? This is when he counsels the church people, when he talks to us about sometimes when we're out of whack with each other, sometimes when we're out of whack with the book, and we're getting counsel from God's Word. We often don't like to use that term, but counsel is a good thing. The Bible speaks of counsel as a great thing for the person's life. We ought to take counsel. A wise man receives counsel and does it. Listen, I'm here to tell you tonight that faithfulness is required in the hearts. You don't have to be brilliant to be faithful. You don't have to be strong. You don't have to be fast. You don't have to be the best of the best to be faithful. Now, there's people that have preached all kinds of messages, and I will say this, every one of us serving in this ministry have gifts that God has given to you through the Holy Spirit of God that are differing from one another. The hand, the foot, the Bible uses speaks of that, but if we are going to be what we ought to be as a church body, then the church as a whole needs to embody faithfulness. If there ever was a church that spoke out to the world, if there ever was a radio station, if there ever was a place that needed, listen, that has already had a testimony of faithfulness, this is that place. But for us to continue that legacy, we have to be faithful. Faithfulness shines through our lives in so many different ways. When I played football, and I promise this, so I better deliver, amen? Football, not football, okay? Football, you know, the passing and the running kind, okay? I guess they pass and run in the other one anyway, but hey, you know what I mean. Anyway, so, okay, the hitting kind. That happens there too. I never really liked the other sport that much. I felt it was somewhat communist, but we are playing it now, so I can't say that, but I just did, so I promised it. Anyway, so, but there is something to be said for being able to run up to someone and kick them as hard as you possibly can in the shin. Okay? Amen. So that's why they require pads on your shins, guys, all you guys that are playing that sport in the high school. But football was a game that it's a team sport. One of the things as I began to think about this, and most of you have played a team sport, you realize that, you know, coaches always say, there's no I in team. Amen? And the best teams that I've ever played on were guys that played their position. They played their position with everything they were. They didn't get out of their lane, but when someone needed help, they stepped up and covered. They didn't overtake their friend, but when their friend was short or tripped or needed help, they were always there to step in and take care of it. We played a 5-2 monster defense. I don't know if you've ever played that before. That means that if you've ever seen that, that's kind of an odd defense. There's 4-4, there's different ones, 5-2. 5-2 monster has a back that is not, he just doesn't do anything but kill people. He's the monster back. His job is to follow the ball wherever it is. The other guys are supposed to stand the guy up that has the ball and not tackle him right away, but to make that guy sorry he ever touched the leather football. All right, I mean, to just make him never want to touch it again, to wish that he was never born. That's the job of the monster back. That's why he is called the monster back. Now, on our team, We had two linebackers, and we had two exceptional linebackers. I was one linebacker, inside linebacker. There was another linebacker, and both of us played very good football. Both of us were not the fastest guys in the world, but both of us were crazy, okay? And so that means we would unload the dump truck every time. And our coach picked those guys on that team. And we played that way. And he would get so mad in practice when somebody would just, you know, they would arm tackle. And some of you guys, I don't have time to teach science here, but they would just come short. They wouldn't give it everything they had, or they would try to grasp. And he would say, your job is not to make the tackle. You were out of position. You needed to take out. And what the neat part about a team sport is you don't always have to be the star. You know your job. And I don't know how many times when it was run, the ball was run on my side, I knew that the guy that had the ball was not my responsibility. I took out the two blockers that were leading him through the hole. My job was to clean their clock, to make them wish that they never led that guy through the hole. And I would throw with no care, and I know it today. All these Snap, Crackle, Pop, Rice Krispies that go on with me, I know some of that's from high school football. And I would run at accelerated speeds and throw myself at two guys that did not have the ball, trusting that the other linebacker was going to be faithful to come through the hole behind me and clean up my mess. Because my job was to take out the lead blockers. And sometimes in the Christian life, even on our bus routes, in our Sunday school, sometimes we don't think that's important. And I've talked about this over and over again, and I'm going to try to get to the message tonight. But it's important for us all to play our role and not necessarily care about the glory, but just be faithful and play our position. Because sometimes we get to make the tackle. Sometimes we're the one after the game that they want to talk to because of something that happened. But you know, oftentimes when I watch a game, I look at that quarterback that they're all wanting to talk to because he threw, but nobody touched him through the whole game. And the guys that they ought to be talking to are those guys that are 500 pounds and all five of them that stood in front of him and never let a man touch him through the whole game. They played their position and they played lineman the whole game. They're unsung heroes of every sport. You know, in a church like this, they're unsung heroes. Do you know there are people that came to church and get saved and walk down the aisle, and we would like to think that the guy behind the pulpit was, whoa, I mean, he was preaching, he was on fire. Boy, it was the message that did it. Maybe it was the little lady in the back that shook their hand and told them how welcome they were to be in the house of God, that we thank God for them to be there. And they sat down in the house of God and didn't feel awkward, didn't feel out of place, but they were welcome because somebody took time to shake their hand, go out of their way just to welcome them to the house of God. Sometimes I was reminded of this, and I drove the bus, and one of my kids, you know, last couple weeks I've had to drive, and Brother Congdon is my normal driver on the bus route, and one of the kids has been on the route for a few years, stopped and said, hey, you tell Brother Congdon I said hi. I miss him. You know why he knows his name? Because Brother Congdon's been to his house. You know why he knows Brother Congdon's name? Because Brother Congdon's been on the route a long time. Listen, I'm not trying to brag on Brother Congdon other than to say this, that when we check off the boxes of being faithful, he can check the box. Amen. Hey, it's important for us to be faithful because sometimes we may not think that we're changing anything or anything's happening, but then when they need something, they know who they can go to because they know who's been faithful. I wrote this down. I read this somewhere, and I don't know if you've heard this before, but young man said, I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day. I would rather one walk with me than merely show me the way. Do you know, every day of my life, I can say there's some things that my dad has showed me how to do. But the ones that I really learned, not when he just said, you do this, this, and this, and then left me to do it myself. Sometimes I broke those things. Amen. And he had to come and help me anyway. But when he took me, I can still remember There was a night my dad tried to get me to put a starter in a truck. He had already taken it out. He got another one. And I don't know if you know, I'm a Chevrolet man. All right. I'm just going to, and man, I know that some of you, I've just made you mad. But again, I read the thing about the Pharisees earlier. Okay. So I told you, I knew we were going to get there tonight. Amen. But I'm a Chevrolet man, and I was laying underneath a Ford van working on it. One of our men in our church was an electrician, and my dad did all the service work at night for him. And it looked, if you know anything about Fords, they got 800 million starters, you know. And there are all these different ones, and this one looked really close to what had come out. And my dad had purchased this, made it, you know, said, here, go put it in there. And I tried four or five times trying to get it in there. And I mean, I had it real close, and I was lying. I mean, it looked like it should go in there, but it wouldn't go. And I was getting frustrated. I was a young teenage boy. My dad called me Bull. I broke all kinds of stuff because I was heavy-handed during that time of my life. And I was really trying to do this. And my dad was getting frustrated because he wanted me to do something while he was doing something. And finally, he came out there and he got underneath the truck with me and he started to, and I didn't understand why it was the wrong one. And my dad got under there and showed me why I couldn't get it in. He showed me why he was upset because he thought it was the right one. But once he got under there, and I learned something that night that I never could have been, that just being by myself, I could learn. And sometimes, listen, can I just say today, there were a couple kids off my bus route that could not wait to go to Life Chain. Do you understand what that does for two young men? Two young men, listen, I'm here to tell you that came and stood on the side of the road just like you did and held a sign for an hour, and they were just as excited as they could be to be there. And why? Because, listen, I'm excited about that because those are two young men. When they ask, what did you do yesterday at their public school, guess what they're going to say? I stood up for life. I stood on the side of the road. It's important that we be faithful. It's more than just saying what I'm doing. Sometimes we need to take people with us and show them. There's some things that are important for us to understand. This man, I read this poet, and he wrote that, and then he also wrote this: 'Tis not the dying for a faith that is so hard. Every man of every nation has done that. It is the living up to it that's difficult. You know, faithfulness, you know, sometimes we think of, boy, I love Jesus enough to die for him. Peter thought that too, didn't he? Amen. You say, well, Peter went to the cross. Yes, he did. But it was after a long, faithful life of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not hard to go to the cross and give your life for something that it's waking up every day and choosing not to go to the world and to live. It's again to die to self every day. The cross is just a piece of wood, but the flesh is living, and we have to fight it every moment of every day because it wants what it wants. It doesn't want the things of Christ. Faithfulness comes shining through in some things when we're that way. Let me say this. Number one, if you're going to take notes tonight, I got some points I want to get out, and I may not be running around, but if I'm not careful, I'll let the time pass and I don't give you what I really wanted, what God gave me tonight. All right. Number one, faithfulness shines through in the home. It shines forth. Faithfulness to Christ shines forth in the home. The Christian home should be a little heaven on earth. It really should, folks. The virtues of love, joy, and peace should be in every Christian home. I'm not saying every home is going to be perfect. I'm not saying that every home is never going to have an argument, because that's just not how it is. But I grew up in a home that had arguments, and I grew up in a home, but they were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And then when they got to church, sometimes what had happened during the week and some arguments they may have been in, my mom and dad were on the altar praying about it, trying to get it right. And then the home would better exude love, joy. But you know what I knew about this? My house was the house. And I thought, you know, that they argued a lot. I would say, if you asked me about my home, I would say that it wasn't the perfect home, that there were some holes in it. But you know, everybody wanted to come to my house. There were two different boys in my youth group that ended up living with us for a few months when they had hard times and when they were going to our Christian school. And my mom and dad took them in and took care of them just like they were their own. I'm just going to tell you, I mean, Sunday afternoon, people wanted to come to my house. And my mama would love them just like they were her kids. And she would put on a feed just like they were her kids. And those people would say to me, and I learned how that what I really had was something different, because those kids would look at me and they'd go, I love coming to your house. You don't understand what you have here. You don't understand how special your house is. You know, I forsook a little argument between my parents sometimes that this was not how it should be, but I have no idea really what a worldly home is like. I never was raised in one. It wasn't until later in my life that I really understood how blessed I was. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes my mom and dad had to work two jobs to make sure everything got paid. And they wouldn't have had to do that if I wasn't in Christian school. My parents struggled to put me through Christian school. I mean, they invested in me. And I wasn't always as thankful as I ought to have been. But faithfulness always comes shining through in the Christian home. It ought to show off love, joy, and peace. The Christian home, when we are what we ought to be a piece of heaven on earth compared to the things that are out there. It ought to be, the Christian home should be focused on directing the hearts of those in the home to Christ. Can I just give a witness? I mean, I got a TV, you know. I've heard Brother Larry Brown preach on the hellavision, television, smell-o-vision, okay? I have seen him bust one, okay? I've seen other men break one. I have broke one myself, okay? I have preached against them, but I can tell you this, my home better. When everything goes on, and you know how we get to busyness, and sometimes we just want to have the game on or whatever it is in your home, but you know as well as I do, when you click it off, it doesn't matter how good the programming is, when you click it off and all the family comes back together, it exudes much more of love, joy, and peace in the home than the television can ever set forth in the home. It may give you peace, you know, when you put on whatever your kid's favorite show is so you don't hear them cry or whatever it is. But the Christian home should be focusing and directing the hearts of everyone inside faithfully to the Lord Jesus Christ and His will for their life. So many times we as parents, the Christian home is focused on what we want our children to do with the rest of their lives, or what we think our kids should make long term, or what we think success is. All right, I challenge you to get in the book. There's only one place that the Bible uses the word success, okay? And it's about battle. So if you want your kids in the battle, okay, that's a good place to start. But it's a man of God doing the will of God, and he's having good success. All right, if you in your life want that for your children, that's good. But I learned a long time ago not to be God in my children's life, because I'm going to fail them every time. My job is to point them to Christ, because He's never going to fail them. My job is to point them to Him, because He knows what's best for them and what He created them to be and what His will for their life is going to be. My job is to direct them to Christ, to help them see it, to help my job is to help bring it into focus, to make sure they're in the house of God Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night, so God can speak to them. The Christian home ought to be that. The Christian home should advocate. Can I say that? You know what an advocate is? It's somebody that stands up and stands in place and says, this is the way it ought to be for someone else. The Christian home ought to be an advocate for holy living to its everyone that's inside of it. It ought to always be pushing the standard of that book. Listen, and I know everybody tightens up when you say the word standard. Okay, I've already seen it. Okay? But I'm going to be its advocate. Does that mean everybody in my home is going to jump on board and say, that's exactly what I want to do? Is that what they did with everything? Some of them even didn't do that with salvation. Some of them aren't doing that with the will of God. But the Christian home ought to be one that always, listen, mom and dad, you have got to lead the way in this. You cannot say in this area, do as I say and not as I do. All right? the worst thing in all the world that the church, the Christian home, has done in this life for America has step away from holy living. To let down its guard and not to be an advocate for living for God, just doing right, just having a standard that's high and moral, and it ought to be that way. Listen, even back when our founding fathers founded this country, lost people had better standards than most people have in our church today. They had a higher standard. Number two, faithfulness shines through in our business lives. Every one of us have a life that we consider, even in the church, there are business dealings, especially in a church our size, where we have a curriculum and we have a college and there's money involved and all those things. And I'll quickly give you some points, not to weigh down too much of this, but again, many of you, your everyday life is in business. And in our lives, our faithfulness to God and Jesus Christ to shine through in our business lives. It ought to be so evident that we're faithful Christians, and that's shown in our lives through our honesty, just being honest. I'm going to be honest with you, I never could take a job selling used cars because I'm too honest to sell used cars. I'd have to tell them what was wrong with it. I'd have to tell them every little thing that I've seen. I couldn't sell them something that I wouldn't drive myself. I'd have to be honest. You say, Brother Parsons, I sell used cars. I'm sorry. All right, so, amen. I hope you're a better one than I am about that. I want to be honest. I want to be faithful. Amen. I want to have clear speech, clean speech. I want to be clear that I'm a Christian, that I am not my own, that I'm bought with a price, amen, no matter where I'm at. And in every business, I want to make it clear, and I have. When I worked in the business world, I was very clear. Any job I ever took or any place I ever went, I just was clear right out the bat. Listen, Sunday's off limits. If you want me, Sunday is not where I'm going to be in the house of God on Sunday. You can't have me, because I'm not my own. Sunday's already been bought with a price, and you ain't got enough money to hire me on Sunday. Do you know that every place I ever worked, anybody ever worked for, that work, you say, well, that don't work in today's world. Hey, don't tell my Sunday school class, because we just prayed for a job for somebody that went in and said, Sunday's off limits, and they told her that they couldn't do anything with that. And I said, well, we'll pray that God will iron her in what she said, and that he'll give her a better job, amen? And she came to class this morning and said, I got to praise, my mom got a job, amen? Praise the Lord. Hey, can I just tell you, God honors those things. God is good to us if we're faithful to Him. And not only in just that, but how about the golden rule? I preached on that before, and I believe in it, that we ought to live our lives as Christians. People expect us to do unto them as we would want them to do to us. And even in our Christian school and all around the world, it works, folks, and it especially works in our daily lives. We do not have to take this dog-eat-dog. If I throw somebody off the ladder, if I get to it first, it's okay to open the door and say, okay, go on in. Amen? Amen? Business lives of so many people are like Black Friday in a store. People, even Christian people, change when they go in on Black Friday. Okay? I don't go there. Okay? I might turn into one of those people. I don't want that, you know? But how is it that sometimes when it's a job opportunity or the next rung on the ladder or something going on in our lives, how we can turn into the world just like that? We ought not be that way, folks. We ought to be faithful in business. We ought to be faithful in the home. We ought to be faithful in our work for the Lord. Can I just say, not only that, but let me say this tonight. How about faithful? How about faithful? I wanted to do this. I know where my time is, all right? I think we need to be faithful in our school lives and as youth, all right? I'll just say this. You know, our preacher, he'd like for all the teenagers to sit in the teen section. And he doesn't harp on that every week, and he don't preach that every time. But as parents, we ought to make sure that we help him with that. Amen? 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 Amen. Amen. And if you didn't know if that was a thing or not, they sit with you or they sit in the teen section. That's always been the rule. Ever since I've been around here, that's the rule. That's the way it's been. We don't preach it every week, but it's always been the rule. Amen. And they're better off sitting with you or with the teen group. And if they don't sit in one of those two places, it's probably because they want to do something they can't do in those two places. Now, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Usually, the teen section is way closer to the front. So that's where I like to send mine, all right, unless they beg to sit with me. But this is where the preacher can get down there and spit on them if he really wants to, amen? And they can get it firsthand, get a little bit of preacher's DNA on them, all right? Hopefully something transfers and helps them. But it's a good thing. Sometimes in our lives, in school, and again, we have a Christian school, it don't matter where you go to school, folks, okay? And I'm not saying that they ought not go to Christian school. Please don't take what I'm saying that way. I believe it's a good thing to send them to a Christian school. I believe it's good for them not to be taught what the world teaches, but to be taught what we teach here. Amen? I'm for homeschool. We print a homeschool curriculum. It's good for them to do those things. But school life is just as much as anything else. Don't think, children, that you're going to be faithful and you're going to be this great college student when you can't even do your homework while you're in high school. Don't think that you're going to be Superman in college and you were a dud in high school. Don't think because you got good grades in high school and you copied off a Quizlet that you're all that in a bucket of chicken. When you get to college, there may not be a Quizlet, okay? Don't think, and I'm just taking a spot. Listen, faithfulness carries all the way through. It's not just for mom and dad. It's not just for the businessman in the back. It's for you too, to start now and be faithful, not only to church, not only to youth group, not only to the youth activities, but even in your school life, being faithful on all things. Listen, we have a great, let me just stop and say before you think I'm after you, we have a great youth group. We have great teenagers. I get to go soul winning with them on Wednesday night, and I get to watch them get out of the van and knock doors and tell people about Jesus that would never listen to me. But when teenagers come to the door, they stop and listen because they think if they came to my door, they must have something to say. Sometimes they think, good, I'm getting brownies. It's a bunch of people selling cookies or something. You know, that's the kind of face they come to with the door with the teenagers. They don't come with that face when they see me. I was at Soul Winning Marathon last year, and I have this great big phone that's on my hip. It's like an iPhone 6 or something. It's a jumbo thing. It's a great big phone. And I have a great big, like, protector on it because I lay and jump and drop it all the time, and so I don't want to break it. And so I'm walking, and I mean, this group of guys jumped up, and we're like this. And they were like, dude, man, I thought you was a cop, man. I thought you were strapped and you was a cop. And, you know, I was like, that's just a phone, brother. It's just a phone, okay? I'm just here to tell you about Jesus. Whew, man, I was, you know. Hey, they don't look that way. Most of our teenagers that walk to the door, they don't get mistaken for a police officer, okay? People receive them. Listen, young people, you have a great opportunity to be faithful as youth. You have an opportunity to win people that your parents could never win. You have an opportunity to invite people that would never listen they're too hardened to listen to an adult, but they'll take the time to listen to you because you're young, and if it's important to you, they want to hear what you have to say. And even if they don't receive Christ, at least they heard the clear presentation of the gospel. And honestly, they're without excuse according to the gospel, according to the scripture. Lastly, I want to say this. We ought to be faithful, and it should shine through in our church. Man, we ought to be counted on to be in our place. I mean, it ought to be that way that even if you didn't hear from me, even if you couldn't get your cell phone, even if you couldn't dial me up on a landline, even if you couldn't get me on an email, even if I don't even know what tweet is, but if you tried to tweet me, I didn't even tweet back. What is a tweet anyway? But even if you couldn't get me on those things, even if you couldn't get, if I wouldn't pick up and you didn't know, you ought to trust that Brother Parsons is going to be on his place where he ought to be, doing what he ought to do without fail. It ought to be, he didn't call me back, but I know Brother Parsons and he'll be here. He didn't tell me that he wouldn't be, so he's going to be here. Hey, can I just say, where are you at today on your faithfulness? Think about church is more than just showing up. I mean, that's just jumping off point of attendance. I mean, there's some things our preacher ought to be able to. I mean, when we get to work in the church and we get to go on a bus route or we get to be in the nursery, if wherever it is that God allows us to serve in the church, man, we ought to be counted on to be in that place and not to just show up, but to be the best that we have. The best that we have to offer ought to be here. It's the first day of the week. It's why we give it to the Lord. We ought to be fresh and give Him our all, but sometimes we've spent ourselves in chasing the world and the world's dreams all weekend, and when we drag ourselves into the church house, we give less than our best at best because we come in haphazard because of where we've been on the rest of the weekend. And that's some of us. That's not the Sunday morning crowd. I'm talking about us. We're past attendance. We're talking about working, dragging ourselves in. And I'm thankful for that, that you came in out of duty. But, man, I want to come in ready to gun. Amen. With the message cocked and loaded in Sunday school, studied and ready to go. Amen? Amen. How about faithful in prayer for my church? Man, we were able to talk about some of the answered prayers. Man, I believe we got to pray in church. But I think we ought to stay faithful in praying. There's too many people sick in our church for us to stop. There's too many people that need our prayers. There's too many people that are hurting. There's too many people lost for us to slow down. Listen, if anything, we can't back up in our prayer. We got to go forward. We got people that are already. Listen, some of you, that's your ministry. You used to work in Sunday school. You used to work on the bus. You used to be here. But now, where your body's gotten to the place, now you're going to be faithful in prayer. Now you've taken up this altar of prayer in your home. And when people are out soul winning, and you're faithful to go sit at the table and beg God for souls to be one. Listen, don't discount that. Realize that other people need you to be that. Realize we need you to step up. Even today, I believe people that were too frail to even stand and hold a sign or sit and hold a sign took up a place and prayed for safety for people that were out on the street. Don't think that this place can continue on without the prayer warriors that it's always had. And maybe you're one of those people that have been the workhorse. You've been the pack mule for years, doing all the work of the church, and you've somehow, in your age and where you are, you've passed to that place where now you're going to take up the mantle of prayer warrior. We need you to do that. Don't drop off the scene. Why would you run all the way to the end and be faithful? Why would you be faithful in the work of God and be this way all the way through that and then let up at the end? Amen. Why would you? Pastor says it all the time. Listen, I want to wear out. I don't want to rust out in the ministry. I want to wear out for the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got only one life, and it will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. Folks, we need to be faithful in everything that we do. We need to give ourselves not just to the go of the commission. There's so much more to it than that. People in our lives, man, I need to be faithful to tell people. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes people would really, even around us, they come long enough to see if it's going to shine through your life, to really, for your life to tell them the story. Some of you have proven to me over and over again in so many different ways. And if Pastor was here, he'd say the same thing. Some of you have proven it over and over and over and over again. But I beg you today, continue to be faithful. Don't let up. The race isn't over. The trumpet, it will sound, but I don't want to be found on the sideline waving at the group. You say, well, Brother Parsons, what about the prayer warrior? I feel like you're still in the race. I feel like you're still on the track. If you're praying, listen, even if you're the coach screaming and saying, go, 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 you're still in the race. You've got skin in the race. Can I just tell you tonight, we got to be faithful. We can't let up. Say, Brother Parsons, I wasn't thinking about quitting. I told you this before, and I'll say it again. Nobody quits in their body first. They always quit in their mind. It starts with, I don't think I can do what I've always done. And I know that everybody thinks I'm crazy, so I'll just go on and say this. I even feel like for myself, if I was not going to be as faithful as I was yesterday, I want to do more. Amen. I don't want to pray and ask God, God, just help me to be faithful. God, help me to find a way to be so productive in your work today that I find time to go farther for you. When was the last time you felt that way? When was the last time that you felt that way about, man, I don't want to just do what I'm doing. God, help me to do more than I did yesterday for you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand with me? The pianist is going to play, but don't wait for that. If God spoke to your heart, would you step out tonight? We have a fall campaign. Would you come and pray that God would give us souls? Would you step out tonight and just pray that God would help us be faithful through this campaign and beyond that? As they sing tonight, people have already stepped down and come. Maybe you're here tonight and this isn't your first service. This isn't the first time you've come. But tonight you realize tonight's the night. You need to be saved. You need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Well, I'm going to step down here in a moment. Would you come and meet me in the front and just let me know that you need to be saved so that we can have someone take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Brother Burt, would you sing for us tonight?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender. I surrender, make me Savior, wholly Thine. May Thy Holy Spirit fill me, may I know Thy power divine.
Thank you all for listening so well tonight. I do pray that you'd pray with me, that you'd help, that the Lord help us be faithful. Amen. And we have a great example of that in the Lord Jesus Christ. But even that, our under shepherd here and our pastor is a great example of faithfulness to us, is he not? Amen. So pray for him. Amen. Pray for those that are in the prayer directory. And I know that there's volleyball tonight. There's going to be all kinds of food over there. You say, Brother Parson, you preach so long, you're still going to play volleyball. These guys love volleyball. Amen. You know, I said that there's no I in team, but I'll say this before I quit and we'll pray to be dismissed. But there is I slam in the middle of faith. It's what it takes for us to have it, isn't it? We got to put ourselves right in the middle of it and just put it on Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Dear Jesus, I thank you for your many blessings. I thank you for the great day that we've had this morning. I thank you for just being through the safety on all the different things that we've done. I thank you for letting us stand up for life. I thank you for letting us run a bunch of buses all over the place, God, and bringing them back here safely. I beg you, God, that you give us a great week in our day school and that through all the things that our people do in their business lives. And God, I pray for safety tonight as we play volleyball. Thank you. Help us to be faithful. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.